Good morning. It's good to be able to come together this morning to worship God. We appreciate the presence of everyone, and we're thankful that you're here. And it's good to see the doubt that's with us. I think it would be a good time for me to pass my gratitude along. The congregation there at Rocky Point supports me, and I'm always thankful for that support and appreciative of that. And Paul, if you would, pass that along to the brethren when you see them again. We appreciate that support. It's good to see you and good to see all of you this morning as we come together to worship God. If you'll turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3 in just a moment, we will be looking at a story there of the death of Abner and a comment that David makes with regard to that. And I want us to look at the theme this morning of dying as a fool dies. As you're turning over to 2 Samuel chapter 3, we need to remind ourselves that man in all of God's creation is the only one who's made as a rational being. You take all the plants and trees and rocks and animals and all of God's creation, we are the ones that have been given a rational mind, a soul and a spirit and a mind that thinks rationally and reasonably. We have a conscience, and other parts of creation do not have that. In fact, when, for example, in 2 Peter chapter 2, when Peter is describing the false teacher, he says that he acts like a brute beast without rationality. And so notice how the animals are described as someone who doesn't have reason or rationality. We have a mind, and God gives us that mind, and He wants us to act responsibly with our mind. We would say today, use your brain. God wants us to use our mind, our reasoning, and our rationality. In Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, we are to offer up reasonable service. Some versions say spiritual. The word there is logikos, from logic. We're to use our reason, our rationality, our mind. That's what God wants us to use because He has given us that, and He has not given that to other aspects of creation. When we act reasonably and rationally with the mind that God gives us, we are acting according to God's truth, what is real, and what is in the best interest in the well-being of mankind. When we act rationally, there has to be a body of truth that we're conforming to, and it's real. We're not just in a fantasy world, and we're doing what is best, what God wants for us, and what is best for mankind. The opposite of that is what we call foolish. And this morning we want to talk about dying as a fool dies. Every day, right now, it's going on right now as I speak, around the world, someone is dying as a fool. They're dying without using their thinking and their rationality. They're dying without using the mind that God has given them. And it's senseless, it's unnecessary, it's unfortunate, but every day, all around the world, someone is dying without using their mind. They're not thinking. They're just caught up in the things of this life, and they're not thinking. And so I want to talk this morning to sober us and to serious us, if you will, in that death is a reality, and when we die, it needs to be where we have used our mind to be in a right relationship with God and not the other, where we just simply die as a fool. And a lot of times, man thinks he's wise. Man thinks that he's educated and intelligent and intellectual. And often what he's doing is just simply what God would describe as foolish, as we'll see in just a moment. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, we have a story of the death of Abner. And just to fill in the background, if you look at the first part of 2 Samuel, you remember there that Saul has died. And those who have followed Saul place his son Ish-bosheth as king. And so he reigns in Israel for about 2 years, the text says. And David is ruling the southern kingdom of Judah. There's actually a little civil war going on here for a period of time. If you look at chapter 3 and verse 1, there is war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Well, in chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, one of these particular battles involves the captain of David's host, Joab, and the captain of Saul's host, Abner. And they're fighting. Who's going to be king? Who's going to rule the people? Saul's dead. Is it going to be David or is it going to be Ish-bosheth? And so there's civil war going on here. If you read in chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, Joab and his brothers go out to war against Abner. One of the brothers of Joab starts pursuing Abner, and Abner turns to him and twice says, "Go another way. I don't want to kill you. Go to the left, go to the right. Stop pursuing me." And in an act of what appears to be self-defense, Abner ends up killing Joab's brother. He just keeps on him. And Abner turns with his spear and thrusts it through and kills him. Well, Joab doesn't live that down. Joab is going to carry that with him the rest of his days. And the revenge is going to build inside of him to the point that when, come with me to chapter 3 and verse 27. Abner had been to Hebron to visit David. And in time, after enough of this civil war, Abner says, "Look, I want to bring the people to you. I want to bring all Israel to you." So Abner comes to visit David at Hebron and says, "I'm going to bring the people with me. We're going to unite with you. You're our king." And so there's this union taking place and goodwill on the behalf of Abner and David. And David greets him, accepts him, and sends him on his way. Well, in 2 Samuel 3:27, Joab hears that Abner has been to town and has been talking with David. And Joab says, "Oh, I lost my opportunity to kill this man. He killed my brother. I'm going to get him back." So Joab invites him back to town. Abner comes back in. And the text says that Joab secretly wanted to talk with him over by the gate. And when he did, Joab and his brother killed Abner. Now I want to pick up the reading in 2 Samuel chapter 3. David views this death as senseless and unnecessary. There's no reason or rhyme behind it. Joab sees it as an act of revenge. David sees it as, well, here's a man, Abner, who's come back to me. We're going to unite the kingdom. He's going to bring Saul's people with him. Why in the world did Joab go and do this thing? In 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 31, "And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, 'Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner.' And King David followed the bearer, or the coffin procession. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented for Abner and said, 'Should Abner die as a fool dieth?'" It's a rhetorical question, and David's point is simply this. This is senseless. Should this man die as a fool dies? There is no reason for this. And then he goes on to say, "Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in fetters." We would expect that of someone who's captured in war. We would expect something like this of someone who is a criminal or something like that. But not Abner. Is he just going to die like a fool dies? This senseless, meaningless act. The point is this. David is not saying he died as a fool. He's saying we don't want to allow him to die as a fool dies. We're just not using our brain here. He's a good man, you see. And he had already shown that in chapter 3 by coming back and wanting to unite with David. How did he die? He died as a man, verse 34, "As a man falleth before the children of iniquity, so did thou fall." If you back up to verse 29, David is already upset at Joab. And he puts a curse on him, as it were, that trouble would be in his house the rest of his days. A leper and other kinds of things. And then later, look at verse 39. "Jehovah reward the evildoer according to his wickedness, the sons of Zeruiah." That's Joab. He's very upset at Joab. Is this man Abner going to die as a fool dies? And so, verse 35, 36, 37, he calls upon the people to gather together and mourn for this man. And says in verse 38, "Know you not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?" At least in David's mind, we're going to give this man an honorable death. This is not going to be the death of a fool. He's very upset at this situation. So we have this dying as a fool. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21. Solomon says that a fool dies without understanding. There are people that die every day. They're not using the wisdom that God has for us. They're not using their mind to live properly in the sight of God. And they just die, just senselessly dying. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and that should be verse 17 there in the notes. Chapter 7 and verse 17, Solomon again says that be not overly wicked or foolish. Why should you die before your time? There are people that die early in life, and it's because just a foolish act. We see it all the time with people driving recklessly, drunk driving, foolishly playing with a firearm, or whatever the case might be, and they're just snuffed from this life way before their time. It happens all day long, every day, right now. Somebody has just died, and it's just senseless. So the reality of it is, I want us to actually encourage us not to die this way. And I want to look at some examples of how one might die the death of a fool. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, the word that is used here, Nabal, like Nabal's vineyard, it's a word that literally means in the Hebrew, senseless, and this is not my word, this is a standard Hebrew lexicon word, stupid. I remember growing up, we weren't allowed to say stupid. Don't call somebody stupid. Well, if we use it in a right context, there's a place for that. That is actually the word Nabal, senseless or stupid, especially of a man who has no perception of ethical and religious claims. In other words, I'm not going to think and perceive properly my right standing before God. I'm just going to act in some senseless, stupid way. I'm not going to use my brain. In the New Testament, the Greek word aphron, literally a or without, and then phron, the mind. When somebody acts as a fool, aphron, they're acting without their mind, without reason, without thinking. It's senseless. We would say today, use your brain. The Greeks would say aphron, without your mind, or nabal. These are the words that we're going to be looking at this morning in the Old and New Testament. And every day somebody dies without using their brain. Now, before we start thinking about who that might be, we have the category of that person. Let's just wait and get through the lesson because it may be us. Because we have in our mind, well, that's the drunk driver and I would never do that. Or that's this person or that person. But it may be closer to home, and that's what we want to look at this morning. First of all, the death of a fool could certainly be someone who dies while renouncing God. We've been studying in the book of Job. And what did Job's wife suggest to him? Let's turn back there in Job chapter 2. Curse God and die. And Job says, you speak as one of the Nabal. You speak as one of the foolish women. That would just be stupid. And here's why. Back up to chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21. Job was not going to charge God with this. He's not going to charge God with acting foolishly, verse 22. He's not going to charge God with just acting senselessly or without using his mind. God knows what he's doing, even in this contest with the devil. And Job's not going to charge God foolishly, chapter 1 and verse 22. And it would just be stupid to having lived this life. Look at chapter 1 and verse 1. Having lived a life of upright and blameless and trying to raise my kid right at the very end, just say, well, curse God. That would just be foolish. Having lived a life of service to God, just at the last, just throw it off. And, you know, there may be some people that do that. Attend all the church services, read their Bible, go to all the gospel meetings and all that kind of thing. And then sometime later in life, something happens and, well, I'm just going to quit the church. That's just foolish. God didn't cause that. God is not going to give you something that is detrimental. Only good things. James 1:18, only that which is good and perfect comes from God. So we're not just going to, right at the end, just throw it all away. And he tells his wife, you're speaking as one of the foolish women. I'm not going to do that. Well, that would end this whole thing, and you don't have to suffer. Yeah, but then I would have to face God in eternity. I'm not going to do that. And we don't need to do that either. We need to be faithful to God regardless of our circumstances. And Job would not sin in chapter 1 and 2. And that's why in James chapter 5 he's called blessed. The patience of Job, he endures all the way to the end. We're in the middle part of the book where he questions God, but he never renounced God. There's a big difference. And that would just be foolish to curse God and die. You know, there are others that every day, it's happening right now, every day somebody dies as an unbeliever. Look at Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Do you know that right now somebody's dying somewhere around the world who is an atheist? You know what kind of death that is? That is a foolish death, and here's why. There is so much evidence in the world of God to reject it and ignore it and put it out of our mind is just plain stupid. That's Nabal. And here's why. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Listen, from the farthest galaxies to the smallest subatomic particles and everywhere in between is design, it's creation. And if you say, well, God's not there, where is God? Like the Russian cosmonaut said when he got up orbiting the Earth, he said, well, I don't see God anywhere. That's foolish. But every day somebody dies saying, there's no God and there's no evidence of it. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, turn with me there. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. There is ample evidence for the existence of God. And when somebody dies saying that there is no God, that's just foolish. Paul says, verse 19, because that which is known of God, we can know some things of God, is manifest in them, for God manifested it to them. Quit saying there's no evidence. I can't see anything. You don't want to see it. It's there. So, you know, all of these well-known atheists today, there's no evidence of God. They don't want to see it. It's there. God has manifested it to them. Verse 20. For the invisible things... Oh, stop right there. See, invisible. I can't see anything. Well, keep reading. There are things about God's nature that you can't see, but when He creates, He shows Himself. The invisible things of Him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, His everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. That's why when you die as an atheist, it's foolish, because you're without excuse. Now, that's a tough pill to swallow, I grant that, to talk like that, but that's just what the Bible says. It's just foolish to say that there is no God, and then even more so to die like that. But keep reading. Verse 21. Because that, knowing God, we can know God, and these people that Paul is talking about, the Gentile world around him, they know God, but they glorified Him not. That's the problem. The problem is not a lack of evidence. The problem is I don't want to glorify God. I don't want to bring my life into conformity to His will. Neither give thanks, but they became vain in their reasonings, and in their senseless heart was darkened. Underscore that in your Bible. It's just senseless. You're not using your senses when we act like this. And so, let's not die an unbeliever. We all understand that there is ample evidence for a creator and a designer. And let's help others see that very thing. You know, some people die as a fool not caring about sin. Fools make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14, verse 9. Sin's no big deal. Sin ain't going to hurt me. I'm not going to be held accountable for sin. Any way you want to mock it, you can do it. Either it doesn't exist, or it does and I don't care about it, or there is no God and He's not going to hold me. Either way, we fools make a mock at sin. So basically what man does is he tries to stay one step ahead of the law. He doesn't want to get thrown in jail. That's sort of an inconvenience. But as far as that, we're just going to live any way we want, you know. And they just mock it. And you know what? They die like that too. They die in their sin. They die doing what they're mocking at, laughing at, poking fun at. They don't care. Sin is a transgression of God's law, 1 John 3:4. It's unrighteousness, 1 John 5:17. It's a violation of God's law. When Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, I can't do this. If I were to do this wickedness, I would be sinning against God. So sin is not just some light thing. So let's not go about the day, well, it's no big deal if I do such and such. The Bible calls it sin, but it's no big deal. It is. It is a big deal. And the devil wants us to have that attitude towards sin and hopefully one day catch us dying with that attitude. He would be perfectly happy with that. But that's dying as a fool dies. And people do it every day. In fact, there are people who die at the very moment that in their mind, sin is no big deal. There are people that die shooting someone, and their attitude towards shooting someone is, oh, it's no big deal. And at the very moment, they get shot and die. Or whatever the case might be. It's dying as a fool dies. David looked at Abner as, this is senseless. This is a shame. And we need to look at some of these things the same way. It's just senseless. It's just a shame that many die every day not believing in God when the evidence is screaming, yelling. The heavens declare the glory. It's just shouting at us. And what a shame. Every day people die. No, there's no God. And sin's not a big deal. Do you know that people die every day after repeating the same old folly? You'd think they'd learn. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11. This is what is quoted by Peter in 2 Peter 2. A dog returning to his vomit. In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11. As a dog that returneth to his vomit, so is a fool that repeateth his folly. Do you remember a couple weeks ago the Hollywood actor that died in his New York apartment? Do you remember that? And he had 70 packets of heroin in his apartment. You know what else he had there? He had prescription drugs to help him with his drug addiction. So he's on prescription drugs to help him get off of drugs, and he's got 70 packets of heroin. Do you think he's repeating the same old folly? Yeah, I think so. I'm just going to keep my drinking, keep my drugs, keep this going, keep that going. A fool. You might as well just go back and eat your vomit. That's how serious it is. And that's how gross it is. You might as well just eat your vomit as to go back and just keep doing the same old foolish things. Now listen, it's not drugs for us. I don't think there's anybody here this morning where that's a major problem, or alcohol or something. But what about repeating the same foolish words? The same foolish attitudes? The same foolish actions? Or whatever. It doesn't have to be drugs and alcohol. It could be anything that's wrong. And we know that in the past it got us into trouble, but we're just going to keep doing that. Well, okay. But people die that way all the time. So here's this man who dies of a heroin overdose. Was that the first day he tried it? He had been doing that. He's even taking prescription drugs to try to get off that. But just going back to it. And then he died repeating the same old thing. And people do that all the time. And one day it may be with us if we don't stop whatever that is we're doing. It's actually supposed to be a positive lesson to keep us away from these things that happen all the time in the world. We're going to use our minds, and that's the admonition. I asked Eric if he would read Ephesians 5. We're not going to be foolish, but wise. And we're going to understand what the will of the Lord is. And so if the will of the Lord is to believe, be a believer in Him and take sin seriously and stop repeating, then we're going to be wise. We're not going to be like the world that dies every day like a fool dies. We're going to be wise. And when it comes time for our departure, we will be in a right relationship with God. It is foolish to trust in your own heart. Proverbs 28, verse 26. We have the expression today, just follow your heart. You ever heard that? Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Take it where it leads you. Well, that's fine as long as your heart is guided by God's Word. Or we say today, just follow your conscience. Well, that again, that's fine as long as your conscience is guided properly by God's Word. But what this proverb is talking about is Jeremiah 10:23. It is not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. Yeah, a fool just follows his own heart. He's not going to be following God's Word, just what I think and what I feel. And there are people that die every day doing what they think and what they feel. We've got to follow God's Word. In the scripture reading, be not ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's our standard. That's our guide. Not just what I think in my heart and what I feel. We do that from day to day. We're just a fool. And we die that way. We're dying like a fool. You know, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. And then this may be closer to home. Jesus is rebuking the religious scribes and Pharisees. On the outside, they were religious, but on the inside, they hadn't taken care of some things. So I come to the church service. I'm always here. I teach Bible class. I'm a song leader. I've got all the outside cleaned up. But it's foolish if I don't take care of the inside. Luke 11:38. When the Pharisees saw it, he marveled that he had not first bathed himself before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now you, the Pharisees, cleanse the outside of the cup and of the platter, but your inward part is full of extortion and wickedness. You foolish Ophron ones, did not he also that made the outside make the inside also? So let's make sure that our inside is right. We can be at all the services. We can do all the outside things. We're outside. Brethren see us one way, but inside there's something that needs to be changed. These passages on the overhead remind us that that's what God is looking at. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, He's looking at the inside. He's not looking as man looks, but He looks at the heart. 1 Kings 8:39, Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, Luke 16, 15, Hebrews 4, 13. He can get right into the dividing of the soul and spirit, the joint and marrow. God's Word, God inspects us on the inside. And notice how Jesus cuts right to the heart of the matter with these Pharisees. Oh, you religious people got it all cleaned up on the outside. They would pray, they would read the Scripture, they would come to the temple, all that. But inside, there was wickedness going on. Sin is sin. And if there's something on our inside that needs to be cleaned up, we need to clean that up. God is going to be looking for that when we die. A fool just dies making sure all the outside's nice and pretty when the inside's not right with God. Do you know that if we die unprepared and we have not properly obeyed the gospel, that we're dying as a fool dies? Turn with me to Luke chapter 12 and verse 21. Some of these things get closer to home. Look at the very next chapter in Luke chapter 12. This man who had built bigger barns and so forth, and he's taking care of his physical affairs and all that kind of thing. Luke 12, verse 19, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Life is good, you know, have It might be retirement, or it might be middle-aged, or whatever part of our life is. We just sit back, we're enjoying life now, we're having a good time. But God said unto him, "Thou foolish one, Ophron, you're not using your mind." When all we're doing is we're thinking about the material things that we have and we're not taking care of our soul in obedience to the gospel, it is senseless. It is without the mind. It is foolish. And so his life is taken from him. "Thou foolish one, this night thy soul is required of thee. And the things which you have prepared, whose shall they be?" You can't take them with you. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." He hadn't taken care of his soul and his relationship with God. Look with me at Matthew chapter 25, of course, the parable of the five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. When the Lord comes again, they were unprepared. They were not ready. Verse 10, Matthew 25, 10, "And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready," are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you wise? "The five wise were ready and went out to meet him. And the door was shut. And afterward also came the other virgins, the foolish ones, saying, 'Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour.'" Verse 2, five of them were foolish and five were wise. Five were Ophron. Five didn't use their mind. They didn't prepare themselves. They didn't ready themselves. And so we have multiple gospel invitations. We have multiple invitation songs. We have gospel meetings. We have all kinds of sermons. We have all kinds of calls to come. "I'm just not going to do it. And then I die." That's just foolish. Or I needed to correct something. I needed to repent as an erring Christian. I needed to clear up something. Ample time. 2 Peter 3:9, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He gives us all this time. And I just drag my feet, I procrastinate, I delay, I won't come forward, I just put it off, and then I die. That's just foolish. Well, Chris, that sounds a little hard. I'm just using the word that Luke used, or that Jesus used. And it is a hard pill to swallow, but with all of the time that God gives us to prepare and we don't do it, it's just foolish. Just like with all the evidence that He gives us in the universe and we still say, "Oh, there's no God." That's just foolish. We have all kinds of invitations, all kinds of opportunities. Any time, night or day, in the same hour of the night, Ananias took Saul and washed his stripes and baptized him. I don't care what time it is. Any time of the day you can respond. "Well, I'm just not going to do it." Well, okay. And then we die. That's just foolish. People do it every day. The Corinthians are called foolish. "You foolish ones." They wouldn't believe in the resurrection, or they questioned the resurrection there at Corinth. Paul takes an interesting tact with him. He says, "You foolish ones, do you not know that when you put a seed in the ground, what you put in the ground is different than what comes up?" They were wondering, well, what kind of a resurrected body are we going to have? It's interesting that he uses an illustration that everyone there in Corinth would know, that when you put a seed in the ground, you put a seed in the ground, but what comes up is completely different looking than the seed. And he says, "You foolish ones." Well, what? Well, Paul, that's a little strong. Well, no, if you just use your brain, you can see that with the seed. So when we die and our body goes in the ground, there's going to come up something different. It's just common sense. When you put an acorn in the ground, what comes up? That big old tree. Does it look anything like a little acorn? No, it's just a big old oak tree. Two different things. So what you put in the ground is different than what comes up, and vice versa. And that's the way it is in the resurrection. But he says, "You foolish ones." Boasting is foolish. When we vaunt and boast and build up ourselves before others. In 2 Corinthians 11:16 through 21, Paul says that if I were to boast, you would have to bear with a little foolishness. His detractors and the false teachers that were following him around trying to discredit him in 2 Corinthians, they were all boasting. They were all building themselves up. And Paul said, if I were to do that, even and he uses it as an argument with him, if I were to do some boasting like they are, I could do it, but you would have to bear with a little foolishness. It's foolish to do that because God is supreme, not us. We're not to vaunt ourselves. Do you remember the story of how Herod died in Acts chapter 12? How did Herod die? He died a fool. He died boasting. They were crying out, oh, some great one, and he would not give glory to God. And he's smitten with worms and he dies. People die as a fool every day. The admonition this morning is for us to use our mind and not die like that. And then one last illustration, and the lesson is yours. Peter talks about that if we live properly, our Christian conduct needs to be such that we put to silence the foolishness or the ignorance of foolish men. 1 Peter 2 and verse 15, that you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The ignorance of foolish men. Do you know that it's foolish to be ignorant of God's Word and what God wants for us? We're all ignorant of a lot of things. I'm ignorant of how to fix some things on the car. We're all ignorant of different things in life. Maybe how to operate a computer or how to maybe bake something or whatever it is. There's some things in life we just don't know about those things. When the New Testament talks about ignorance, it's with regard to God's will. And you know what? With the Bible as the most published book in all the world, in hundreds of languages, they're laying around everywhere, doctors' offices everywhere, laying around everywhere. Then we come up and say, well, I just don't know God's Word. That's the ignorance of foolish men. It's everywhere. You can get it on your phone. You can get it everywhere. But then people won't read it. They won't study it. They won't look at it. Well, I don't know. That's just foolish. And if we stand in the judgment day saying, well, you know, I never knew, Lord. I didn't know what you wanted. I never had an... No. You have plenty of time to read and study. Be not ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That goes along with our scripture. We can know. Be not ignorant. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. We can know the truth. We can know God's Word and God's will. Some of those passages are challenging and tough, and we study and we read the context and we do word studies. But in the end of the day, we can know. We can understand the will of the Lord. We don't have to be ignorant. We don't have to go through life saying, well, I just didn't know. I didn't know you wanted me to do that. I didn't know you wanted me to live like that. That's just ignorance. Because of the availability and the understandability of God's Word. It's just ignorant. It's just senseless to be like that. And so as we close this morning, that's how Satan wants us to die. Satan wants everybody to die a fool. Where we're just not using our mind. And he gets millions of them yearly. I don't know the death rate of the world. Many, 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 I would say many, many more die as a fool than die righteously and in a right relationship with God. Think. Use your head. Dad would come along and say when we were doing things at home, that this shorter, he would come along and say, boys, use your head. I think he still does that to this day. Use your head. Think. Why? Because God gives us that. We're made in His image. We have that ability. We have that capability. But we also have that responsibility. And it's in every part of our life. Raising our children. Right relationship with the Lord. Work out in the community. We use our head. Our thinking. And we bring it into conformity to God's will. As it is revealed in Scripture. And then when it comes time to die, it's not a fool's death. Nobody's sitting there lamenting it, saying, boy, this was just completely senseless and worthless and unnecessary. Nobody's saying that at your funeral and mine. What they're saying is they used their mind and their opportunity to bring their lives into conformity to God's Word and God's will, and they died in a right relationship. If we can encourage you to do that this morning, as we stand and sing this song of encouragement, let's not walk out senselessly and needlessly unprepared for the judgment day, but wisely and prudently using our mind to be right with God. And if we can encourage you along those lines, why won't you come as we stand and sing? Would you be